Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am Bishop Sean Cooper, and I tell you it's a joy to share with you here on Legacy Leadership Alliance. Legacy Leadership Alliance is a podcast dedicated to emerging generations and thought leaders for legacy transference in the marketplace, educational systems, and religious institutions. Legacy Leadership Alliance four points of light are mentorship, PK Alliance, and pastoral infrastructure. Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am so blessed once again to share with you here on Legacy Leadership Alliance. Of course, we're talking about leadership. I have a principle that states you can only lead as effectively as you're willing to be led. Every leader needs a leader. Well, I'm so excited to have my father in the gospel once again, Bishop Robert Hooks, in this particular episode. In fact, this is the second episode as we discuss leading in the trenches. Now, this is going to be full of substance and wealth. Get your pens and papers, be ready to write, because he's going to drop some nuggets, I believe, that is transformational to your leadership. This is the second session with Bishop Robert Hooks, dealing with leading in the trenches. Be blessed.
And have just used gifts and callings or whatever as a business without even really seeking the Lord, you know. And that's what I loved about Jesus and his humility, you know, his humility. I mean, we're talking about the servant's humble origin was humility. Like, he grew up, according to scripture, before him, the Bible said, like a young plant. He was always so willing to be humbled. And we don't want to be talked about. We don't want to be, you know, ostracized. We don't want nobody to point at us. And we want to feel a part of things. And I think a lot of that has molested the whole idea. And we need to return back to his life. Like, we got, as leaders now,
yeah,
get back to his life. Why did he come in the time that he came in? I mean, why? And of course, we know it's the fulfillment of scripture. The Bible said that it was at the fulfillment of time that he came, which had nothing to do with 24 hours or increments and measure of time. And it had to do with all of the events that was caught or captured in time that was fulfilled. Then he showed up. And when he showed up, it was a very dark time. And I just read very few times that he was exhausted, and he was grieved. Even when you read in Matthew, when he was praying, the Bible said that he was grieved. He was troubled. He was grieved and he was troubled, but it never exhausted him from getting before God.
Yeah.
I don't know where the exhaust is coming from to pray. I can understand it, that we can get there, but I can't say that I've experienced that kind of exhaustion that it freed me from wanting to be in the presence of God.
It goes back to the points that you're making here. Jesus being the end and the aim. You mentioned about his humility.
Right, right.
And then
right.
Staying under the fountain of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Which aids us to be able to handle when we fall into these unsustainable paces, you know.
Right.
Fatigue and things of that nature. In other words, it's just when leaders stay under the fountain of the Holy Spirit, and which means spending time with the Lord, being broken, being the clay in the hands of the potter. And I know that to some of leaders that are listening, this sounds really deep and spiritual, and you know, it sounds weighty.
Exactly, is it?
But it, yeah. it's just was always a part of the dynamics to keep us in the right headspace, so fatigue and pressure don't break us, and we want to commit suicide, we want to throw in the towel or whatever. But it is that seeking God, that cutting out the space to spend time with him and drawing the strength of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to not just sustain, but to overcome, transcend. Let's turn a corner here, Dad, real quickly. I think another topic, I think that we as leaders need your wisdom. And the question is, how do we as leaders maintain, I think, what I call leadership empathy? Because there's been so much happening politically, economically, dealing with race, struggles within the church that has affected our empathy,
yes,
our love of mercy, our love walk, and how we present Christ to the world. What happened? What do you think has happened in the last years that has affected our that leadership empathy that Jesus had?
Well, you know, first of all, the prayer life is crucial. I mean, there's no escaping you. God has no intentions of taking us somewhere and elevating us in positions or anything. And then excuses from prayer. Everything takes us right back to his life. And I have to tell you, there's a sense that there is something has happened with many of our great leaders losing their desire to have that life. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a life of wanting to be have a large church and what they consider to be successful. No one would have thought Jesus was successful. He lost so many people before he died.
Right.
And the crowd thinned out, man. It thinned out. Did what the corona did. I mean, the crowd thinned out. You hear me? It thinned out. It was horrible. Then let's not even talk about the disciples that scattered. And then you had Judas who betrayed them. And you had Peter who denied him. The crowd thinned out. It really did thin out when you check out his life. So my point is that his life tells us what to do in every segment. If you follow his life from birth to when he was 12 years old, then he's now in his 30s or just turning 30, some say between 28 and 30 years old. You have all of these different periods. We don't have a lot when he was a teenager. Obviously, we only have very few. Then that was he was at the temple. And when his parents came, remember, he didn't go on the journey back home. He wanted to stay in church. And his parents were disturbed. He came back and found him. And there he was. I don't know who fed him. I don't know how he ate. I don't know where he stayed. But for those days, he didn't budge.
I'm so glad. I'm
do
so
this to us. You know?
Yeah, I'm so glad that the scripture gives us not a whole lot of information concerning when he was a little boy.
Right.
You know? But he was able to maintain his empathy, his care for people, his love for the Father, his balance. And it's in him that we live and move and have our being.
And that's a heavy word, empathy.
Yeah. And yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just saying that it literally means the action of understanding, right? Being aware, being sensitive to you vicariously. You're experiencing other people's feelings. You're thinking on their behalf, the experience of another, either the past or present, without having feelings can be a dreadful thing for any of us, you know. So it's taking those emotions and those feelings, and you're imagining what these people are going through. And because, Jesus knew.
Yeah. And when you think of it, even now, presently, dealing with the politics, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, white or black, rich or poor,
right?
The love of God was not one-sided or committed to any commitment on the earth of just because people believe a certain thing. You know, it was about his love.
Yeah.
Ends beyond a Democrat or Republican.
Yes, sir.
Was on nobody's side but the truth, you know?
The truth.
And it's almost like, and it's like what you said, because we've lost our focus on the person of Jesus Christ and showcasing and living out his lifestyle. And we have allowed ourselves to wrap the cross in the flag. We've allowed ourselves to get so caught up in ethnicity and color and this and that, that it has affected the real care and empathy that Jesus showcased.
Yes, sir.
And coming back to that, I mean, to the Word of God, to the Bible, to the love of God.
What I love about the life of Jesus, that there's nothing about our life, nothing. There's no feeling, there's no weariness, there is no exhaustion, there's no frustration that his life doesn't touch.
I mean, every aspect of anything we can ever feel doing for him. And as Peter once said, you know, we done left everything. Said, oh, really?
Right.
You know, and this is why we have to hold to the pattern. It's a wholesome pattern out of Timothy 1 and 13. He said, hold on the pattern of wholesome teaching. You learn from me a pattern shaped by the faith and the love that you have in Christ Jesus. There is a pattern. We must never get rid of the idea and the reality, should I say, of a pattern. In Hebrews, he goes as far as say they served in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven.
Wow.
When Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, the scripture said God gave him this warning: be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. In other words, God is always interested in stretching us and moving us into an exactness of the pattern. And that can be, to be honest with you, I really think that that might be one of the biggest issues, is that people are discovering things that God isn't necessarily satisfied with. And he's really moving us to look, to act, to see, to respond with empathy and compassion, exactly the way Jesus did. And that means that you're going to love Biden. You're going to love Trump.
Right.
You're going to love anyone that's in the office. It doesn't mean that you agree with them, because that's not what he tells you to do. But it doesn't mean that you have the right in that disagreement to treat them in a horrible way and to say things that doesn't link itself to the pattern of Christ. That sounds a little bit super spiritual. I'm not trying
that
sound spiritual like that, super spiritual, but there's just a great need. We're in a need today as believers to find Jesus to be our pattern again. We need him. The miracles are going to come. People are going to be delivered and saved. We're not, I'm not interested in just big crowds. Crowds without a form, we're still in trouble. Having the form of godliness and denying the authority of it or the power thereof, we're in trouble. So it's not just having that. We need a specific pattern and form that is his life, not just the doing. It's his life. And I forgive me for not being as plain with all of the things that you're asking. But
you're definitely talking relevance to our day. You're talking biblical substance. And you're pointing us back to the cross. You're pointing us back to biblical patterns. You're pointing us back to where God, he orchestrated things to be. And as a result, let me say it this way. Because we fail to operate in his heart and to be obedient to his will and to follow his patterns, things are disjointed. There's lack of empathy.
Sure.
It says, of course, in the last days, Matthew 24 talked about, because of iniquity shall abound the love of many will wax cold.
Yes, sir.
And, which means a loss of empathy, you know, loss of real care.
Yes, sir.
And of course, the enemy takes advantage of that. And so we find ourselves overwhelmed, constantly fatigued. Another question, Dad, before we sign off here, and by the way, this has been very, very informative and full of substance. You know, they say that there's they're calling this moment the Great Resignation.
Hmm. Yeah.
Quitting jobs, corporations, CEO, yeah. They built their own company, $1 billion are stepping down. People throwing in the towel. And it's not only secular institutions and whatnot, but also within the body of Christ. Statistically, I think the quote was, so don't quote me on this exact, but it was, I think it was about 40% of pastors have been really thinking about in the last couple of years of stepping down or quitting.
Yeah.
The resignation is not just in the secular, but it's also in the body of Christ and in the church. And what I want to ask you, in all your experience, and you've been through almost everything, how do we not quit in difficult times?
You know, we have the examples, of course, scripturally of Paul. And Paul, I love Paul because he's, you know, he's so brutally honest. He said, listen, guys, you know, I'm betwixt here. Like, you know, yeah. Right? You know, staying here is cool for you. You know, I have to deal with everything and the suffering and the weight and the opposition and you know, and the portions. But getting out of here, that's cool for me. But I'll stay here for you.
Yeah.
So the you needs to be filled with the him so that we can stay for the them. Once the you has been baptized with the him, then we can stay for them with a joy.
Oh, that's
difficult to lose your joy and want to be around too, because the pressure is real. We've never had so many preachers commit suicide. It's not even just, you know, resigning any longer. I mean, many of these preachers are turning guns to themselves. They're drinking. They have two and three lives if they're living because they can't seem to find anything worthwhile preaching along. There was a time when they would just preach along, didn't care, take a bus if they needed to. The message, the life, the needs had great meaning. But the confusion has set itself in the hearts of so many that were amazing, great, great orators and preachers and lovers of God and lovers of the people. And then the abuse. Many people have abused. I hear a lot about church hurt and whatever people.
Right.
Isn't that true? I agree. But, you know, anything that's perfect doesn't need anything else, right? If it's perfect, then you don't need perfection. So the mere fact that God is constantly working on us and perfecting us is telling us we're not perfect.
Right.
So it's not real to come to church or to go to church and look for a bunch of perfect people. They're people just like you, loving God, wanting to serve God. And we make some horrible decisions at times in life as believers, as Christians. And so our hope should never be up on the people alone. Our hope should be for the people and not on the people, that God is working on them like he's working on me. And so I hear, and I've had decades of experience of talking to people and hearing and legitimizing. I don't want to ever tell them that, you know, it didn't hurt you, you're stupid, you're nothing but a baby. No, this stuff is real. I mean, it, because you have everybody's background. When you go to church, you have a swirl of worlds sitting in those pews. A swirl of worlds, and every person that you shake hands with and hook their neck, you're hooking their entire life. So if they're 55, you're hooking all 55 years of their living. And so their experiences can really draw things out. And it's not, and we have to learn this, it's not what has happened to you, it's what you do with what has happened to you.
Yeah.
That has to be in place. And so without looking at Christ and how he dealt with all the craziness, because I see a lot of preachers, lots and lots all over the country, and get calls and texts and emails from all over the place of fatigue, and they're tired. And I have to point them back to this life. It's you can't kill this life. You can't kill it. This life is real.
Yeah. It's
easy to get off focus when you're dealing with people that you once trusted that betrayed you as a preacher. You don't feel like you can always share your heart, even with other preachers. And that's difficult, but it is a reality.
Right.
I've never been without a pastor. I've never been without a pastor in my entire life. And I stayed in the same church. I didn't bounce from church to church. I was a member of that one church, and that was it. I was raised in my mom's church. But when the Lord saved me and put me in ministry, I had one pastor. I didn't have three and four and five pastors. I learned from many pastors, and I had fathers in the gospel, but my pastor happened to be a man that was my father. You know, I don't use terms like spiritual father, because he fathered me for real in life, and he fathered me spiritually, of course, but he fathered me. He put his arms around me.
Well, friend, I pray that you've been enjoying Legacy Leadership Alliance podcast. I wanted to take a moment and chime in to see if you would partner with Legacy Leadership Alliance. And you say, how can I do that, Bishop Cooper? How can I partner with Legacy Leadership Alliance? Well, first of all, if you can take the link and copy and send it to your Twitter feed, Facebook, you can even copy the link and email it to leaders. We all need to be inspired on this leadership journey. The second, please subscribe and leave a review. That would be helpful. Well, let's go back into the podcast. Be blessed.
He gave me wisdom when I didn't have that. He gave me, I didn't feel that. He understood me when I didn't understand myself. And then the Lord raised up other men to be a father to me. Dad Walker, of course, and different ones that have spoke directly in my life during some very difficult times. It was great strain. And so pastors can be not only fatigued, it's what they're fatigued with that we need to look at. Why are they tired? Why? If you go to the doctors, he's not going to just say, hey, you're tired. Like, why are you tired? What are you doing? He's looking for patterns because everything centers around a pattern.
Things that you taught us in terms of leadership as a shepherd, I remember you said one time, Sean, get the people feet off your neck. And what you were saying to me is don't expect everybody to love you, everybody to be understand, everyone to understand you. Understand that you will have Judas, you know, and that will betray you with the Judas kiss.
Yeah.
And I had to open up to expectations that people would fail me, they'll fall short, they may take me out of context.
Sure.
You know, because sure. That was the life of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
If I was going to be a leader, then that was part of my journey.
Yes, sir.
For me to expect that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, amen. You hallelujah. Give you this.
Yeah.
But you're going to have some difficulties, and I think go back to what you're saying is that we as leaders, the reason why so many is quitting and throwing in the towel is because we're carrying expectations, and we, for whatever reason, we're starting to look at the people to give us something that only God can.
That only God can give us. Yes, sir.
You know, and it's just so powerful about what you're saying, because what you're saying is it goes right back to Jesus.
Everything.
You're taking us back, whether we are, you know, we're in the trenches and we're fighting, or we feel like we're under some unsustainable pace, or we have a leadership fatigue. And your terminology, that tender feet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, tender feet, which in my interpretation, that means that we are allowing the circumstances around us.
Yes, sir.
To influence us. So we're not stable. We're too tender. We're fragile.
Yes.
And that fragileness is not, broken in the presence of God, that we're clay. You talk about fragile, our ego, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we stay in prayer, right?
Yeah.
We stay under the fountain of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we maintain that biblical humility that you were talking about, and maintaining that leadership empathy, we're gonna be all right. It's hard to quit and throw in the towel when you under the fountain, you know. And right. This empathy piece and the heart is in the right place.
Never get tired of loving people. I mean, there's life would be miserable. That's why I was saying every preacher needs a preacher, needs a pastor, need a covering. I don't care how large the church is. You need a voice of wisdom. You need, my dad would tell me sometimes, that's a great, my God, Robert. Yeah, great idea. Then other times you say, my God, I never heard of something so stupid in all my life. And you can't be offended. A person is easy to be offended. They don't want to follow. But every pastor needs a leader. They need a team of leaders that will help in their development and certainly help them to be able to reflect on things that they wouldn't have ever thought of on their own.
Yeah.
And so we can't have stardom. We can't think of being a star. We have to think of being literally a servant. And if you take even Jesus, come on, I mean, he's the Savior, he's the servant. You know, he's the priest, he's the sacrifice. He's the builder, he's the foundation. I mean, he gives us his pattern. In Hebrews, if I can read this, it says, "For Christ the Messiah has not entered into a sanctuary made with human hands, only a copy and a pattern and type of the true one. But he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf. Nor did he enter into heavenly sanctuary to offer himself regularly again and again, as the high priest enters the Holy of Holies every year with blood, not his own. Christ, of course, as we know, is both the priest and he is the sacrifice."
Yeah.
And there's a great need for us that when we think of sympathy and empathy and think of compassion as leaders, it can't be mechanical. We need to be able to feel. We need to stop trying to rescue our feelings. Get with some pastors that have like, "Hey, look, I know what you're dealing with, but hey, let's move beyond that," because those feelings are very, very real. And I also believe that one of the things that we're experiencing is telling. It's very telling. We are in one of the most sensitive moments ever in history.
Yeah.
In a modern day, are you kidding me? We have a vaccine that's still questionable. We have a virus that's questionable.
Yeah.
The questions are everywhere. We have the White House in many ways that's questionable, leadership questionable. And there's this big question mark on pastors. It's like, do I want to do this? They're questioning. And you have people that's questioning them. Doctrine and everything, anything you can think of seem to be stamped with a question. We've got to get back to the life of Jesus, because he's the answer to everything. He's going to give us true direction, and certainly he's going to be able to open our heart, and we will find the truth of who we are only in learning who he is.
Yeah.
And this is why the empathy thing, man, Jesus had so much compassion and empathy. He felt for them. He felt them. I mean, and Elijah, if I can say this real quickly, I know we have to end. Elijah is an interesting character in scripture because he knew what it was like to be depressed over a month. I mean, this guy was like, he was suffering big time. And his whine was like, "I'm the only one left." On and on and on, you know, "Just take me home, get me out of here, I'm through." He wanted to resign. Right. These feelings are not something that's new. And God has given us grace when we experience these things. He's given us grace. God talked to him. He's in the cave. He became a caveman. He's in the cave, and God had to draw him out. And he drew him out with circumstances that was life-threatening. Earthquake, wind, fire. It's like, okay, I need to get out of here. And it was there at that doorway of that mountain that God began to deal with him. Say, "Man, what are you talking about, dude? You think you're the only one?" And that's when we have to ask ourselves that same question. Do we think we're the only one? I have thousands that have not their need to bail. So we're going to feel that. Because once you're walking with the Lord, there is a supernatural way to care for people. And remember, he did all of this on behalf of who God was to him, but for the people, because they were being deceived by hundreds of false prophets. And he wanted these people to come back to God. And when there was not an immediate revival, that's when he worked out. He got the threat from, of course, Jezebel.
Right.
An immediate revival. And he said, "I'm out of here. I'm gone." But we need to realize and recognize that God is going to confront those isolated thoughts that keeps us on an island, that tells us that there's no need for me. I've done everything you told me. I obeyed you. And look, and God is saying, "Dude, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Do you know who's on your side? Do you understand I made everything? Do you understand who I am?"
Thank you for listening to the Legacy Leadership Alliance podcast. We invite you to continue to join us at the intersection of religion, education, and the marketplace as we provide synergy and faith toward the future. Follow us on all podcast platforms and subscribe. Contact Sean Cooper at BishopSean@gmail.com to donate to Legacy Leadership Alliance Cash App $ Bishop Sean. And remember, it is better to live by principle than to die by impulse.